if you turn your Bibles to James, the first chapter, that's where we're going to be at, specifically verses 13 through 15. But this morning, temptation, who's to blame, right, for temptation, that desire of being tempted. And so let me start. It says, starting from verse 13, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death." Father, we know that you provide us life. You're a life giver. You're a life sustainer. As we sang in this song earlier, this worship, you give us breath to breathe. Without that breath that you give us, we would be dead. And so, Father, we thank you for your word and the ability to worship you this morning. I pray that you would strengthen me and those around me, that we would be able to be warriors of yours, that we would be able to represent you in a way that you would say, "Those are my kids." In your name I pray, amen. Well, I think one of the hardest things for us to do as humans is to admit our faults. Some of you looked at your spouse like, mm-hmm. We don't want to admit that we're wrong or when we mess up. I mean, we look at God's word and we barely get into the third chapter of a 1,189 chapters of God's word in the Bible, and we see that there's sin that's taken place followed by the blame game, right? So, you know, Adam and Eve, at the very beginning in the third chapter, says that they're there and they heard the sound of God walking through that cool garden in the morning, and God, he says, "Hey," well, okay. He says, "Where are you?" Now, you know, God, he knows where everybody's at. But he's like saying, "Where are you?" And Adam says, I heard a sound in the dark. I heard a sound in the garden. And I heard it was you." And he goes, I was naked. And God's like, "Oh, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Oh, no. You ate from the fruit. You've got all of this. And you had to eat the fruit." And what does man say? What's the first thing? He says, "Oh, well, God, yeah. Us men, we know that part. The woman you gave me, she's the one. Blame, she's the one. The one you gave me, God." And then the woman says, "Well, the snake." And, you know, come on. "The serpent delivered it to me, deceived me." It's logical to deduct that Adam implied that God was somehow responsible for Adam's temptation. Because why? Because God gave him that wife. So God, you gave it to me, so it's on you. And this is a situation that is so familiar even in our own lives. How many times have you been confronted for a mistake and you pass the blame? And maybe it happened this week. Maybe at your job. Maybe some other circumstance. You're just like, well, this happened because that person messed it up or they dropped the ball. Or it seems like nowadays the most common entity to blame, well, you know, it's that COVID. Everybody wants to blame COVID. It's not my own, it's not my fault. COVID, you know. There's a sitcom back in the mid-60s. It was called The Flip Wilson Show. I don't know if some of y'all like, okay. Some of you like, what? Nick at Night, okay? All right, so. There's this show is called The Flip Wilson Show. And Flip Wilson used to dress up like a woman, and he'd take on the character as Geraldine. And I won't repeat everything he said, but one of the things he would say is, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The worst possible way to pass a blame is when you blame our holy and righteous Father. In our reading this morning in James instructs believers not to blame God for their temptations precisely. It's just unacceptable that we would blame Him. So, when you're tempted in verse 13, when you're accused, don't blame God. I mean, it says, let no one say then he is tempted by God. Perhaps you hear this and you wonder how this message is applicable to those who understand that God is not responsible for evil. And I'm afraid we are guiltier than we realize. We must take into account the context of this verse of James. In the first part of James, verses 1 through 12, where it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it may be given him. But let him ask in faith, with not doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that a person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lonely brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises in scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. When we face trials, don't place the blame on him. And I think that sometimes we get confused with those T words, temptation and trials. Okay? Temptations and trials. Temptations? All right. Man, I don't know where that came from. All right. Bottom line is, he has nothing to do with the temptations. Trials? Oh, yes. He will give you trials. You know, you look at Job, the trials that he went through. Or just look at your own trials. And you wonder, well, why me, God? Well, God's like, well, why not you? I don't want no mediocre Christian. I need a warrior to fight the fight. I don't need a weak Christian. So yes, there's going to be trials that will test you. See how close you are in relationship with me. See how much you depend on me. Let those words that I will never leave you nor forsake you resonate with you. When we fall into that temptation and we sin, and our sin is found out, there's no reason why we should be blaming our Heavenly Father for our junk. There was a pastor that he recalled vividly being in his backyard with his parents. And he was back there with his dad, and his parents had just recently divorced. And he said, his dad was saying, man, son, you're not like the same like you used to be. You used to be all joyful and jubilant. And, you know, you just seem to be out of character. You don't joke around anymore like you used to. And the kid, he knew why he was like that, because this whole divorce thing, his parents divorcing, just wasn't setting right with him. That's what had him, his mind consumed. And he at a deeper level, he was like saying, yeah, he goes, I know that God can prevent this from happening. If anyone who can prevent this divorce from happening, I know that God is in control. And in his mind, he was like, so God, you know, he's just like, God, why are you letting this happen? It's your fault. It's easy to blame God for the mistakes that we make. But what's reassuring to me is that I know that I can say, why, God? And be upset? And know that he'll say, hey, JR, I know you're mad. And I love you. And to realize that I can say, God, I'm sorry for yelling at you. And to know he'll say, yeah, it's all right. When we go through trials and when sin occurs, we tend to blame God. We need to be trained by Scripture to think differently. All right? So accusing God for temptation denies his blamelessness. There, and we look at the 13th verse, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. First, God cannot be tempted by evil. God is holy. God is righteous. God is awesome. He is pure. All right. So therefore, he is the very nature of God. Cannot absolutely do nothing. He has nothing to do with evil. Nothing at all. Because when we think about being tempted, we're talking about, especially doing something evil, it takes selfishness and lustful and craving and being empty and lacking and carnal and self-seeking and an evil person to try to entice or to seduce another person to do something that is forbidden. And our God, as mighty as he is, he's not about that. You got to understand that that's not in his DNA. God is not like this. He's the opposite. God's holiness does not allow him to be tempted to evil. He cannot be tempted. He cannot be tempted, and he cannot tempt man. Second, not only God cannot be tempted by evil, but God does not tempt anybody. God loves and cares for each and every one of us. He's not going to do something or incite something, entice us to do something harmful or something forbidden. That's a better choice of word. God wants the person to turn away. He wants them to turn away and to flee from evil. Run as fast as you can. Don't crumble. Don't succumb to it. You know, run as fast as you can. What's the name of that movie that I watch every Thanksgiving with my sisters? The Incredibles. Have you ever seen The Incredibles? The first one? And The Incredibles. And then, what's his name? Not Jack. Dash. There you go. Dash. Somebody's got some kids. Dash. This kid, Dash, he can run, but, you know, it's like a superpower, but, you know, he's got to keep it on the down low, right? And so he gets to a point where his mom says, and Dash, if you ever come into trouble, run as fast as you can. And he's like, as fast as I can? He goes, as fast as you can. And my sister always giggles whenever he starts running on the water, you know, and the bad guy's chasing him. He just kind of giggles like, ah, I'm running as fast as I can. Oh, geez, that's not even in my notes. You need to run as fast as you can. And when you run away from it, yeah, giggle. Like, not today, Satan. Not today. What if I told you, let's say that there's where a boss says, hey, my boss is tempting me to watch pornography. And so immediately you'd think, oh, geez, my boss is tempting me to that. I mean, first of all, you'd say, oh, my boss must be into that. And he's enticing me to do the same thing. And suppose, let's say, he continued and said, yes, you can have this brand new computer and you can have this office with a door and it shuts. What do you expect? Well, obviously, I hope you would realize this person's ignorance. Obviously, you would realize that this boss is not going to dispense his resources on a new computer for you to pleasure yourself by watching pornography. He's giving you these resources so you can better the company. We show the same ignorance when we imply that God is tempting us. We bring God down. We bring God from here down to here, down to sin level, like in the dirt. God's not a part of that. So why bring him in? Why bring him down to that level? Second Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Accusing God for temptation denies our sinfulness. We look at that in those 14 verses. James gives us realistic view of temptation, which causes us to take a healthy responsibility for our own sinful temptations. We read first that we recognize that the nature of temptation there in 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured or enticed by his desire. This defines the source of the temptation as an individual. Do you get that? Do you see that? But each person is tempted, all right? That's you individually being intentional to have your own desires met, okay? We tend to act as if temptation is something external or corporate. blaming everything else except for where it belongs, on ourselves. And we must recognize the process of temptation. It says that drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Temptation is of man. It is of his own lust. There are a couple of significant steps here involved. And so, let me just do it like this. All right. There's one thing when, and I'm a guy, so I'm just going to do it like this. It's one thing if a guy sees a woman, an attractive woman, and goes, oh, wow, nice woman, beautiful woman, all right? But it's another thing when he goes, ah, man, she's hot. Oh, man. Me and you. Like PBJ, come on. You know, if, you know, you've just taken it to a whole new level. Don't ask me where that came from, all right? But I'm just saying, you take it from, to a whole new level. When you let that evil desire, when your mind starts saying and starts wondering and going in its own direction and taking it in a negative way, in a forbidden way, how do you avoid that? It'd be real easy for me, as you know, standing up here saying, okay, when you find yourself in temptation, just think about God. Think of a scripture. And not that any of those things are wrong. Hear me, they're not. But this is JR, all right? When I find myself in a situation, I bring God into the situation. It's like I'm like, okay, God is right here with me right now in this situation. He's not far and distant, church, hear me. He is right next to you right now. And wherever you're at, and wherever you're walking, he's with you right there. And when you find yourself sliding to the left in a wrong direction, and you're tempted, you got to just say, oh, well, I know my Father's right here, the one who saved me, the one who gives me life. Am I going to disrespect him by just totally kicking him to the curb and saying, well, I'm going to do what I want to do to meet my own desires? No. I don't know, maybe God is too big for you to wrap your head. I mean, maybe you say, okay, so another way, I feel like my mom is right here with me. Now, there's some things you should be doing around your mom. There's some things your mom will not approve of, right? You know. And most of you, like I said before, your mothers are godly women. So not only do you have mom here, you have God here. Satan, you're way over here, all right? But you got your God and my mom's right here. They're both saying, son, they're both saying to me, son, you can walk away from this. You have the power to walk away from this. So walk. I think it's important that we realize what those things are, those things that tempt us, those things that would make us go sideways. Sometimes it's the pressure of the day. And you're going to blame it on that, but when we do mess up, because we do, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm far from that. But for me to say, JR, you are wrong, and to go to my Heavenly Father and say, Father, I'm sorry. And maybe for some of you, that's what you need to do this morning. Because maybe you've just been walking too close to what you should be walking away from. And you know what that is. Bottom line is, our Heavenly Father has nothing to do with temptation. He has nothing to do with evil. He is nothing but good and wants nothing but good for you. How do I know that? Oh, geez. Go to James, the first chapter, that same chapter. There we go. All right. This is how I know. James 1:17-18 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Do you get that? The first fruit of his creation. And that he's going to give you nothing other than what is good. Father, we thank you for loving on us. We thank you for doting over us. No father comes close to doing that. And Father, sometimes there are times in our life when we think we've got it all. We know what we're doing, and we find ourselves bending to culture in a way that I know must draw a tear from your eye. Not a tear of joy, but a tear of sadness. Especially when you see your kids bending to that way of life. Father, I pray that we would realize that we are a part of your kingdom. We are royalty. We are ambassadors. And to be ambassadors, we need to be like you and lean toward you. And when situations arise, and because they will, we know they will, that's when we definitely need to lean on you even harder. Knowing that, as your word says, you will never leave us nor forsake us. In your name I pray. Amen.